Tim Watson joins us online. Tim, thanks very much for taking our call.
Not a problem, Matty.
How'd you sleep last night, Tim?
Well, not as well as I'd like to, under the circumstances, okay.
I'll ask you about Job in a moment, but how are you, how's your wife? I suppose we forget about the families and the friends and all of this. How are you feeling?
Well, we're all in a bit of shock, you know, like, it's a hard thing to digest, but, you know, we have to move on, and, you know, the sun came up this morning, so we're just taking it one day at a time and supporting Job as much as we possibly can.
Tim, just when the news broke yesterday morning, and can you give us a snapshot, or do you know exactly when the boys were told, just their immediate reaction?
No, I don't, but I can understand that they would have been shocked. I think some, like Job, who went to the hearing and gave evidence at the hearing and had a feel for what was going on, probably had a more acute understanding of, you know, where this might head yesterday. So I think he had partially prepared himself for what may occur, but I think the severity of the penalty probably caught them all by surprise and they were in shock after that.
Tim, I heard you say on the news last night, talked about that hearing, and the lawyers or people involved in that hearing thought there could have been an agenda there. I think you used the word agenda as the Court of Arbitration for Sport panel heard that. I mean, what gave them that indication?
I think it was just they found themselves, I think, quickly on the back foot in terms of the hearing itself. And I think it didn't necessarily play out the way that they thought it would. They thought that they were going to probably have a fairer hearing than that. But I would think that probably Kaz, and I think there's an understanding now that if you go before Kaz, then probably the job has already been done. So I think that probably that's the way it played out, and they were correct in their early feelings about that.
Tim, after everything that's been said and done over the last 3 years now, you as a father, as yourself, and people you've probably spoken to about all this, who are you most, I guess, angry with at the moment? Or is there anger?
Yeah, no, Cam, a lot of people have asked me that question, and yeah, this has been going on so long that any anger that I had has dissipated over time, and I don't have any anger. I have real disappointment, and, you know, it's painful, this whole episode, and it continues to be. And obviously, you know, there are pieces that will need to be put back together again, and there are going to be ongoing emotional issues with people around this, not just Job, but others that have been acutely affected by this as well. So my concentration on emotion is really in that now, and all those anger issues about who's responsible, you know, they played out a long time ago. You got to remember, like, you know, this is 4 years now. Like, early 2012, this story broke. It's 2016 now, so it's been a long, drawn-out saga. There's been many nights when I've woken up in the middle of the night and I've just stared at the ceiling and tried to sort of rationalise the whole thing and try and work it out. But now that's done, and, you know, we have to move forward and we have to pick up the pieces, and we've got to support our sons as best we possibly can and help them through this.
Tim, you said there's no anger from you, but speaking to Job, maybe even speaking to other players, is there still anger there from the players, do you think?
No, I don't really want to sort of talk on behalf of Job. But I will say that, you know, in recent conversations I've had with him, it hasn't been anger. I think everybody despairs a little that this has played out the way it did, that it happened. And now the consequence is that, you know, it has seriously disrupted people's lives again.
One of the interesting things that came out, and I'm sure you've read the findings yesterday, Tim, was this negligence rule, and the fact that the players, when they were tested during 2012, didn't put down on the sheets when they were drug tested that they were taking these supplements. Had you been aware of that? Had that been out there, or is it something that was new?
No, they hadn't really been examined. Yeah, there's various reasons for that, and others will go into those details if they want to. But that was part, obviously, of this recent, most recent appeal here.
Tim, in terms of the Brownlow Medal, obviously, is a big one. You said last night again that you think that the AFL Commission should look at some of Job's testimony that he gave to the Court of Arbitration for Sport. What parts of that do you think they should have a look at? Just give a bit more detail on that.
No, I don't really want to go into more detail about that. I mean, if Job wants to do that, he can go into detail about that, and that can be presented at the AFL Commission if he wants to do that. But you got to remember, you know, the AFL Tribunal handed down a non-guilty verdict on this. And there were serious reasons as to why. And most of those reasons were that they had a higher bar, or the bar raised at a higher level for comfortable level of satisfaction. So I guess in the determination of all this, those things will have to be considered too.
Tim, what's your relationship with Hurdy at the moment?
I don't really have... I don't have any contact with him. I don't have any anger towards him.
Were you angry with him?
I was angry with them all.
Yeah.
And you know, for good reason. You know, like, and I stated this last night, and I go back to this. You know, because you can get caught up in so many different aspects of this because it's gone on so long, and the simplification for me has always been, you know, this injection program, you know, like it is something that I know that they didn't set out to break any WADA or an ASADA rule. I know that, but the fact is that, you know, they were putting themselves in a precarious position about how this would be viewed and perceived by people if somebody ever broke rank and spoke about it publicly. I mean, it just, you know, when you do risk management, it just didn't make any sense to me that, you know, these men who I know well and I respect would actually arrive at that decision and would not think that this wasn't a great idea.
Look, it's probably too early to know right now, obviously, but do you know what the plan is? And let's just use Job, for example, because you're closest to him. What his plan is over the next weeks, days, weeks, months?
No, Moons. He was shocked by... As they all were, I assume. I haven't spoken to them all. I've only spoken to him. So he was shocked by that decision yesterday. So, you know, generally, you know, when you're confronted with something, you do have a contingency plan and you have thoughts about what you're going to do. They never thought that this was going to happen. They never thought that there would be this severity of a penalty if, in fact, the decision was upheld. So that's what they'll have to go through in their own minds. You know, you've been associated with football over a long period of time yourself. You know how the timetable's set out. You know how everything's organised, your life. You know where you're going. You've got your whole pre-season mapped out, then the season. And, you know, clubs do this with meticulous detail. So all of that has been taken away from them now. They're going to all have to deal with that individually. Some maybe, you know, as a group, they'll have to arrive at some decision as to what they're going to do. Maybe that's going to help them in some way. But I think it's so raw now that probably they're not even considering that today.
Tim, is there a chance, do you think, that Job could walk away from the game, that we won't see him out there playing again?
Yeah, I guess there is a chance of that. I haven't had that discussion with him. I haven't heard him say that. So, but at this time next year, he'll be 32 years of age. I don't know, you know, what toll this will take on him, how he'll view the world, how he'll view playing football, what place that will play in his life. I really don't know. I mean, that's pure speculation, but I guess there's always that possibility, and not just for him, for other players as well.
He's been invited to talk to the AFL Commission ahead of they make the decision on the Brownlow Medal.
Do you think that's his job, Tim?
To make that submission?
Yeah.
When you say job, what do you mean by that?
Well, do you think it's up to him to go in there and talk to them about whether he should or shouldn't give up his Brownlow Medal?
Yeah, well, I guess, I don't know, that was the first I heard of it yesterday, whether he'd be invited to make some sort of a submission. So, I don't know. You know, to be honest, I know people are talking about the Brownlow and all that sort of stuff, but it really, in all the discussions, you know, I've had and all the talk that you know, we've done as a family. That really hasn't been part of what we've been talking about.
Hey, Tim, just one last one. I heard David Koch was on with you last night on Channel 7 talking about how they advised the Port Adelaide players, Paddy Ryder and Angus Monfries, to take the deal. I think the Western Bulldogs did the same thing. Peter Gordon may have advised Stuart Cramery and Brent Prismal to take the deal. Obviously, that was there. That option was there for the players. But just give us a bit of a mindset on why they, you know, and a lot of people are coming through on the SMS. Why didn't they take the deal? Why didn't they take that deal?
Well, to my knowledge, that there wasn't a deal offered to those players, and you know, they still maintain their innocence. You know, like I know the decision. Everyone knows the decision yesterday, but for those players, they still maintain that they're innocent. And I know, I only know Joe's view has always been that, you know, why would you put your hand up and admit to something that you haven't done? So I guess, you know, it's easy now to say in hindsight, yeah, okay, well, maybe you should have taken the deal. And, you know, maybe everyone was naive as to the way that CAS actually works. And, you know, had they known how little chance they had, no matter what the evidence possibly was before CAS, maybe that would have been a stronger consideration.
Just one last one. This is a hard word to say. It's a harsh word. But do you think the players are cheats? Do you think your son was a cheat?
No, I don't. All right. And I never will. And I know in his heart he doesn't believe he's a cheat either. He never sought. If any of these a banned substance.
Oh, we're just having a bit of... You there, Tim? No, he's just dropped out there, unfortunately.
So, you know, like, this is troubling, and it's going to be painful, but I think long-term, he'll sleep comfortably with that knowledge that he didn't set out, nor did the other players start to be part of any program whereby they're administered banned substances.
All right, Tim. Thanks very much for your time again. We'll hear you on Breakfast throughout the year. Too.